October 29th, Vajra-Mahasayana class. So yesterday we were discussing how the gopis are worried so much about Krishna's feet when he's walking in Vrindavan. And a very nice pastime was mentioned. We've heard that Krishna, when he walks in Vrindavan, he follows the cows here and there. So the gopis are worried. They say, you wander here and there with the cows and they can go anywhere. So the gopis, they know, they wander also in the forest paths. They know that the forest paths, there may be some soft sand on the path where the cows wander here and there, where there's stickers and thorns and pebbles which can hurt Krishna's feet. They're so much worried about it. But even they have practical experience. Sometimes the gopis, they're walking with Krishna, and they wander here and there following the, not really the path, but following the path of love. And the path of love moves in a crooked path. Love moves like a snake. It moves like this. So they're wandering, they may be on the sandy path along the Yamuna Pulina, and then they enter the forest, and they go in the dark forest. And the forest, there's no paths, so you make your own path. And then sometimes Krishna does step on a thorn. This pastime is there. And when he steps on a thorn, then he leans on the shoulder, puts his hand on the shoulder of one gopi, Lalita Sakhi, because there's no coward boys there, there's no Balaram there, no. It's only Sakhis and Krishna. So Krishna leans on the shoulder of Lalita, and he picks his foot up in Radharani, and he bends down and says, oh, where's the thorn? And then takes out the thorn. So they know that Krishna does step on thorns. So he heard that yesterday. So these verses of the gopis, they're really revealing a lot about the nature of prema. What is the nature of prema? And of course, we are meant to, in Manjri Bhav, or Gopi Bhav, this kind of mentality we should have is that, like as this verse is telling us, the devotees have a complete absence of desire for their own happiness. This is prema. They serve Krishna and offer their love to Krishna. And eventually they meet Krishna. The sole purpose of whatever they do is to please Krishna. That's love, spiritual love. Everything they do is to please Krishna. They're thinking, the gopi Amandri is thinking, I'm a maidservant of the Braja gopis who are always engaged in serving the lotus feet of Krishna in varieties of ways. Krishna may embrace me and make me his own, or he may break my heart by not being present before me. He is a debauchee, always seducing the gopas' wives. Krishna may do whatever he likes. He is my Prananath. There is no other than him. This is a translation of the verse. Ashlishiva paratam panashtamam. So we mentioned that Sri Krishna is an independent, supreme person. Acting according to his desire is my only religion. Interesting definition of religion. Dharma, religion. This one Acharya says, acting in accordance with Krishna's desire is my only religion. So, by ordinary standards, if one were to measure the activities or the mentality or the speaking of the Brajagopis, one would think irreligious. Because according to ordinary religious systems, Vedic Dharma, Varnashram Dharma, the duties and actions of one in the cultured society of God-centered, you know, society of the Vedic times, the gopis were actually irreligious because they were married to other gopas, and it's highly irreligious for a married wife to run with someone else. But we see here that this is a very interesting definition of religion. Acting in accordance with Krishna's desire is my only religion. So that in fact is, you can say that's the gopis. That's a perfect, acting in accordance with Krishna's desire is my only religion. And this is really the highest meaning of dharma. Because all the other meanings of dharma which people understand, dharma meaning religion or religiosity, are related to this material body and this material world. As morality and rules and regulations and bindings, it all applies to the conditioned souls. But the gopis, they are Bhagavad Gita personified. They are the Bhagavad Gita personified. Yomam Pashati Sarvatra Sarvam Chamayi Pashati. One who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost to him and he is never lost to me. This is the gopis. And then Krishna tells us at the end of the Gita, he says, Sarva Dharman Vrityajya Mam Ekam Sharanam Braja. Every Indian, every pious Indian knows this verse, that abandon all varieties of religion. Well, that's the gopis. If you abandon all varieties of religion, what does that mean? Well, in one sense, it means you're a sinful. You say, Sarva Dharman Prityaja Mamekam Sharanam Raja. Okay, I abandon all religious activities and all religious formalities. So then you're a hedonist, or you're just a sinner, a Jagai Madai. They abandon all varieties of religious pursuits. But actually, the gopis abandoned all lokic dharma, material dharma, dharma based on this material body and dharma based on this material world, and they focused their complete attention on God. So their religion, what was their religion? Acting only in accordance with Krishna's desire. No independent desire, no separate desire. The gopis think, I have no interest separate from Krishna. In a stage of perfection, a jiva becomes a female maidservant, a mandri of the gopis in Apricot Vrindavan. There she engages in fulfilling the desires of Krishna through spiritual senses in his siddhaya, eternal spiritual body. This is the actual nature of prema. So this is just a note about the nature of prema. And verse 15 is we have to discuss today. To illustrate what is prema, what is sambhog prema, and then bring it all together with the Shikshastakam and Naam Bhajan and particular pairs of the holy name. In this case, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying Hare Hare, the last pair of names, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. This last Hare Hare of the Hare Ram as half, this indicates prema bhajan, sambhog prema. So this, the foundation of this integration of this, of the an integration and experience of how Hare Hare relates to a Shlishiva Parantam Panashtamam, and how it relates to prema sambhog, and how one gets encouraged and develops this mood of preparing his consciousness and preparing his heart to serve in Radha Krishna's prema sambhog leelas is given in these various verses, which in most cases the verses that Bhaktivinoda Thakur cites to describe prema, braja prema, the level of sambhog, are spoken by the gopis, because they are the premi bhaktas, they're supreme premi bhaktas. So this is another verse that this is one of the symptoms. Before, when we initially described the introductory classes, we described about Mahabhav and Ruda Mahabhav and Adi Ruda Mahabhav and the three different divisions, two in meeting and one in separation. And then now when we enter these verses, then we see how the gopis speak and how they feel are indicating these characteristics and qualities of Mahabhav. So one of those characteristics of Adi Ruda Mahabhav was to feel, when one is separated from Krishna, to feel a moment like an age. So we all know that quite well. Very early in the game, we become familiar with Yuga Yatam Name Shena Chakshusha Pravishayatam Shanyayatam Jagat Savam Govinda Virahiname. That Radharani is praying. This verse is spoken by Radharani in the form of Gauranga. And Radharani is saying, if my eye blinks without seeing you for that moment of a moment, that small portion of a moment, it crushes me and debilitates me and destroys me as if I hadn't seen you for a yuga, for thousands of years. So this verse itself is Mahabhav. And this is one of the characteristics of Mahabhav, is to feel in separation a moment becomes an age. So this adarshanam marmahatam karotava. This is a line from the 8th verse. without seeing you, marma hata, my heart becomes broken. I feel brokenhearted. So this again is another verse from Gopi Geet in chapter 31, verse 15. Then when the gopis are separated, you know, they feel that a moment is 100 yugas. When they do not have darshan of that beautiful face adorned with curling locks, when the gopis are unable to see Krishna's face with its black curly strands of hair, even a single moment seems like 100 ages. And it's just a variation of the same. Each verse has an introduction by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and then the Sanskrit verse, and then his Bengali rendition. This is text 15 of Bhajan Rahasyam, and the citation is from Gopi Geet, chapter 31, verse 15. Atatiyan vavannanikananam chutriyugayate tamapashyatam kutilakuntalam shimukam chate jarudikshitam pakshmakridrisham. Here the gopis are not saying nimesha. Yugayatam nimeshena. Nimesha means a blink of an eye. A blink of an eye is about 1/30th of a second, so they say. But they say, and when there's, when Mahaprabhu is speaking the verse in Radhabhav and Gambira, he's saying, Yugayatam Nimeshena. But when the gopis are speaking in Gopi Geet during during Rasalila, the Gopi Geet, when they're separated briefly from Krishna on the banks of the Yamuna and crying these verses, they cried these verses out. I didn't really cry. Don't really know how to cry. But they cry these verses, Atati Advavan Anikananam. It's like this. This is actually, everyone's heard so many tapes and recordings, professional and devotional, professional, whatever, recordings of these verses. And actually even pure devotional expressions of these verses. But it's told that they're crying because they're separated. They're adarshanam. Confirmed. So when the gopis are speaking, they say, chutir yugayatam, tvam apashyatam. And the Shikshastakam 8th verse says, adarshanam. 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 I am not seeing you. Here they're saying apashyatam. Apashyatam means you're not manifest. You're not manifest to me. I'm not perceiving you. And how do they feel now? Because maybe sometimes when Mahaprabhu was on Gambira at that time, at that particular moment of expression, when Krishna's experienced Radharani's Mahabhav as Mahaprabhu, Rasaraj Mahabhav, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, at that particular outpouring of his heart, maybe he felt, or obviously he did feel, or she felt, that one blink of an eye away from Krishna was a yuga. But now everything, the circumstances, sometimes you may feel a separation from someone, oh, it feels like years since I've seen you. Well, it seems like months, it seems like days. Well, so now they're saying a chutir yugayatam. In the Gopi Geet, they're saying it, a chuti is like a yuga. Animesha means 1/30th of a second. A chuti is 1/17th of a second. That's what it says in the purport. 1/1,700. 1/17th of a second. Now you really have to have a hi-fi time instrument to divide a second into 1700 parts. You take 1 second and divide it into 1700 parts, and one of those 1700 parts, that much separation from Krishna feels like a yuga. O Shamsundar, when you go to the forest to herd the cows during the day, the Brijvasis are unable to see you, and thus they feel one moment to be like a yuga. And in the evening when you return, we see your beautiful face. Kutile kuntalam shrimukam. We see your beautiful face, lotus face, covered with curling locks. The blinking of our eyelids becomes painful because it obstructs our darshan. is the creator who made these eyelids ignorant, or is he foolish, or possibly both? He's an ignorant fool. Jaladikshitam Pakshmakridmukam Jisham Kutila Kuntalam Kutila. I know you've heard of Kutila. Radharani's sister-in-law, the brother of Abhimanyu, is Kutila. She's very crooked. I think she has kinky hair or something also, you know. She's not. So when the Vrajagopis are unable to see, when they can't see Krishna with his beautiful hair, they feel like it's 100 ages. So when, in other words, okay, we read these verses, Bhaktivinoda is giving us these verses, and these are supposed to be verses that accompany our bhajan, and these are, this is a handbook of bhajan, progressive steps of bhajan. Well, how does it work? How does it fit in? How does it apply to me? Or how do I use it? How do I wear it? How do I turn it on? How do I engage it? So this is a verse for hearing, and of course we hear it, then there's also purports we can hear. And hearing is the beginning of understanding, shravana dasha. If we never hear about a subject, how can we understand it? If we don't hear and understand a subject, how can we have any interest to approach it or develop an interest in it? So therefore, for us, the Ajata Rati Sadaka, for the Sadaka that doesn't have Bhav, the Bhava Bhakta has a whole other experience because he's in a Siddhadeya and he's tasting the reflection of these feelings when he enters the Leela and Leela Pravesh. Of course, it's only a reflection because he's still in this material body, which at best can come to the threshold of prema. And we're talking about sneha man pranaya, rag anurag mahavav. So this is all about mahavav. So these verses are expressions of the gopi's mahavav, and a sadhaka, even at the level of prema, he's not in mahavav. So his experience of the gopi's Leelas, even if he's entering them in a Siddhadeya, is only some reflection. It's some, and that reflection brings taste, and that reflection brings pleasure. Whereas the Ajatarati Sadak, he can't even receive the reflection because he doesn't have the reflective instrument. His heart is not sufficiently polished by purity and attachment to receive. We're not on the level of prema, nor bhav. This other edition describes this translation. It's the same, basic. But I think it's so nice because every word is important. In Vishnas Chakravarti's commentary, there's commentaries on Yogayutta Nimeshana. So Nimesha means the blink of an eye, which is equivalent of 1/30th of a second. And the gopis know what they're speaking about. So they say Truti. Every language has, they have the word minute, they have the word second, an hour, a millisecond or minisecond. So the same with the language of the gopis. They speak accurately. So now they're saying Trutir. That Radharani who spoke the word Namesha, now that same Radharani is saying Trutir. Trutir means 1/17th of a second. How wicked destiny has become. Whenever you go into the Vrindavan forest, even a truti, oh here it says, oh to be exact, it's 1,687th of a second. But in the Bhagavatam, BBT Bhagavatam, it actually says 1/17th. Here it's 1/1,687 to be exact. Oh no. This becomes as long as 432,000 years. It says a yuga. So take a yuga. Because no yuga is specified. So this is a commentary, or this chant saying, because what is 432,000 years? What is that number?
Kali Yuga.
That's one yuga. What's the name of that yuga?
Kali Yuga.
Kali Yuga. And what about 864,000 years? What's that? That's Dwapar Yuga. And what about 1,300,000 years? Treta Yuga. And what about four times? What about 1,700,000 years? Satyuga. So that's a long time. If I don't see you for 1/1700th of a second, it seems like 432,000 years for us gopi girls. But for the rest of the Brijvasis, a day in Krishna's absence seems like 3 months. That's an interesting figure. A day in Krishna's absence seems like 3 months for us. But for us, just a few hours of not seeing Krishna seems like hundreds of millions of years. Is there anything besides extreme bad fortune that can be the cause of this? The gopis are speaking like this. It's almost like a soliloquy. They're just standing there looking in the sky. Woe is me. So this is an interesting idea, that the intensity of the separation is felt according to the level of the love and the prema. The greater the prema, then the greater the suffering, the greater the experience of separation. The gopis are saying, for us, we're Brijvasis, but we're the gopikas, we're his dayatas, we're his belovedes. So when we don't see Krishna, then one ek chuti becomes ek yuga. One chuti, a 1/1700th of a second, becomes like 432,000 years. But the other Brijvasis, maybe Nanda Baba, or the Sakas, or the Raktak Patrak, Sudam Shridam, Subha, it says here, okay, if they are away from Krishna for one day, it seems like 3 months. That's not bad. 3 months. But now you compare the gopis, one moment is millions of years, and that's a big difference. Because that shows you what is the difference of the love between the gopis and the gopis. There's oceans and oceans of difference. The extent and the depth of the love of the gopis is so great. Now Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he has a commentary, and he's speaking from the viewpoint of the gopis. But what is worse than this, that at the end of the day, that's because the verse starts off, the gopis are simply saying, Atatiyan bhavananikananam chutuyugayate tamapashyatam. So in this half of the verse from Gopi Gita, in verse 15, the gopis are making just a statement of a fact. This is the fact that when we are separated from you, that one chuti, when we are separated from you for one chuti, it seems like a yuga. This is the idea. But then the second half of the verse, they say, because they're just stating to each other, oh, isn't it like this? When we're separated from Krishna for a chuti. Ek chuti means ek yuga. Chuti, such a small time. Because Mahaprabhu is saying yugayita nameshena. Namesha is like blink of an eye, but chuti is so tiny. Now the second half of the verse, Kutila Kuntalam Shri Mukam Chate Jaru Dikshitam Pakshmakrid Drisham. Now they're saying, but when we do get a chance, when we actually get the chance to see you, what is that? When you come back, because even though there's a few words here, Kutila Kuntalam Shri Mukam Chate, this verse actually indicates Aparan Leela. And Aparan Leela is when Krishna is returning with the cows. It's called Uttara Goshta. Uttara Goshta Leela. Krishna is coming back with the cows. Then the gopis see his beautiful black curling locks of hair and is sprinkled with dust. And then they can see him. And then their eyes blink. It says, Pakshmakrid Drisham. And then they say, what is this? Jada Udikshitam. This creator is foolish. He's stone-like. So Vishwanath is saying, we are in such anxiety, he says, worse than this, at the end of the day, when we finally get to see you, Krishna, we are in such a state of anxiety that a momentary blink of an eyelid brings us distress. That makes us curse the creator for having been so foolish to create eyelashes. This is Pakshmakrid Drisham. Drisha means a vision. Pakshmakrid means eyelids. which causes interruption in our contemplation of you. So though not seeing you all day is extremely painful, the nine chutis that it takes for us to blink also seems like 900 ages. But we suffer both when we are away from you and when we are near you. Is there anything else but extreme bad fortune for us? This is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, his purport. Very interesting. He says, the Gopis are quite interesting. These are village girls, or coward girls, and they seem to know all about mathematics, and they know all about time, the time factor. They're saying it takes nine chutis to blink the eye. And that blink of an eye, nimesha, and blink of an eye when we can't see you, when you return, then it pains us, like not seeing you for 900 ages. 900 ages, that means one age is a yuga. So one yuga times 900, so it's millions of years. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he puts this verse from Bhagavatam, Gopi Geet, he puts in Bengali. Purvahane kanane tumi jao go charane, truti yuga samahai tava darshane. Kutila Kuntila Tavashri Chandravarana Darshane Nimesha Dhapta Vidira Nindana. It says Vidira Nindana. We curse, like we say Saroninda, these offenses. So they say we curse. So this translation, Krishna, when you leave for the forest, this is Purvan Leela, he's going Goshta Leela, and Uttar Goshta is Aparan. Purvan Kanane, Kanane means the forest, Tumi Jao Gocharane. When you leave for the forest to graze the cows in the morning, even a moment of your absence is like a millennium to us. And when we gaze upon your face, framed with curly locks of black hair, we curse the Creator who gave us eyelids to make us blink. So this is the last, this is these three verses from Bhajan Rahasyam. This is 13 and 14, and this is 15, where Bhaktivinoda Thakur is explaining what is this phrase in the Shikshastikam, 8th verse, Adarshanan Marmahatam Karotava. Oh Krishna, when we can't see you, our heart breaks in agony. Adarshanan Marmahatam Karotava. This means separation from the Lord. We can't see. So what is the extent of this separation? And what does it mean not to see? It's like apashyatam. Even when they see Krishna, they're cursing the Creator. And we don't even see Krishna without Prem Vilochan. We can't see Krishna without the eyes of love. So we don't see Krishna. And the gopis are seeing Krishna. They're having sakshat darshan. They live with Krishna. They're having pastimes with Krishna. Moment to moment, they're breathing, acting, speaking, everything, serving Krishna. And even they're lamenting that we can't see Krishna enough. And the slightest disturbance in our looking at Krishna breaks our heart and causes us the greatest agony and distress. Marmahatam karotu va. We're agonized in the separation of not seeing you. This is indeed an extraordinary state of pure love. This is prema. And the whole chapter is describing prema and verses about prema. So, now the next point in this discussion that we have here is how to attain the prema seva. This is what is described here in the next series of verses. And this is quite a few verses in Bhajan Rahasyam, verse 2 through 8, 12, 19 through 22. So we can look at those verses, and because that's the sadhya. Our goal is to attain the prema seva of Radharani and Krishna and Vrindavan. So now Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains how to do that in Bhajan Rahasyam. This is text 2 in Bhajan Rahasyam, how to attain the prema seva of Krishna. This verse 2. A devotee who remembers Krishna's pastimes is transcendental. He's just like Bhagavan. A Vaishnava's body is not different from Sri Krishna's body in the sense that it's Satchidananda, but it's Anu, it's minute, Krishna's Vibhu. And in Uddhava Gita, Krishna's telling Uddhava in 11th canto of Bhagavatam, chapter 29, and this explains how the pure devotee's body is purely spiritual. He's not different from Krishna in that sense, although he's not Krishna. Martyo Yada says, Martyo Yada Tyaktva Samasta Karma Navedi Tatma Vishikirshito Me Tadatmi Tatvam Pratipadyamano Mayatma Bhuyaya Chakalpate Vai. Bhagavan Sri Krishna said, Uddhav, when a person abandons all fruitive activities and fully surrenders himself to me, he becomes a recipient of special prema. This is the result of my merciful treatment toward him. I release him from old age and grant him entrance into my eternal pastimes, where he serves me eternally. So this verse describes the situation of a pure devotee who has surrendered to Krishna. And Krishna accepts him because he's won the heart of Krishna by his surrender and by his purity of his love and his service. And he's attracted Krishna because only love attracts Krishna. We can't force our way into Krishna's association, not by our own, it's not avaroha panta. By our own attempts, we can climb the ladder of bhakti and enter the spiritual kingdom. We can do some endeavor, some sadhana, but ultimately attaining bhav and prema is only by the mercy of Krishna, which is very rare, or by the mercy of Krishna's devotees. Guru kripa, Vaishnav kripa, Mahant kripa. So sadhana, all of our endeavors in sadhana is to purify our hearts, to attach us to Krishna, and to make us eligible for a glance from the Lord, or from the Lord's pure devotees, or his rasik janas, or rasik Vaishnavas. And Rupa Goswami Pad explains in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that there's three ways to attain bhav. So Harda Kripa, says Alochandan, Sohardha Kripa, or Vachika Kripa. By words, a great Rasik pure Prani Bhakta can bless by his words, Vachika Kripa, or by Aloladan, how do you say, Alochandan, by his sight, or by his Harda. Harda Dan means his heartfelt wishes. We may meet a very advanced devotee and maybe serve them, and they don't say anything, and they keep to themselves, but they think, oh, this is a very nice person, let me bless him. And we'll see some examples when we study in a few minutes the Bhakti Rasamrita classes. We're discussing Bhava Bhakti and explains how one attains Bhava by sadhana and the two types of sadhana. And there's an example of Narada Muni. Narada Muni pleased the Vaishnavas and the Paramahamsas. He served them for 4 months of the rainy season as a young boy, and then they gave their blessings to him. And because of the blessings of the great devotees and because of his qualities attracted their hearts, and they blessed him, and then he attained bhav by their blessings. So let's see what is the commentary on this verse by Krishna to Uddhav. So this is an expanded translation of the same thing we read. Krishna's telling Uddhav, and he's telling all of us, because Uddhava Gita is for all of us, not for Uddhava. So like Bhagavad Gita is not for Arjuna. He's playing the role, he's playing the part for the benefit of the conditioned souls. Arjuna is the Nitya Parishad of the Lord. He's not conditioned by foolishness or ignorance. But he's playing that role like a drama so that Krishna can give this shiksha of Bhagavad Gita. So Uddhava is playing a role in the divine leela, the teaching leela of Bhagavan. Bhagavan and his great devotees, they come to this world to teach. That's one aspect of their appearance here. So here he's saying, Krishna is saying, Uddhava, a person who surrenders to me and then, by the grace of a devotee, can give up all his fruitive activities, leading to material happiness in this life or some future life, is special to me. I consider him superior to both the jnani and the yogi, and thus I give him a spiritual body. And then, so Krishna, just like Narada Muni died and he got a spiritual body. He became a Mahabhagavat, and he was traveling and doing his bhajan and chanting his mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And then finally, he was totally detached, left his mother, burned her body, everything, at a young age, wandering everywhere, paribrajak, absorbed in the Lord. Finally, he gave up his body. And then he was rewarded at that in a flash, like a lightning flash. He was given his siddhadeha. He was awarded, given. So I cause, not only does Krishna award or give the spiritual body, he says, he's telling Uddhava, I cause all the divine virtues to enter him, making him worthy of my association in the spiritual world. In other words, first we have to have the qualification of prema, anishta ruchiya sakti prema, and then to actually serve Krishna in siddhadeha, in a prakrita Vrindavan and Goloka Vrindavan, then we need further training, and we need to be trained by the Parishads, say in Madhurya Bhav, in Gopi Bhav, we have to be trained by Vishakha in singing, and trained by Lalita and different Sakis in different aspects, and the Kala, and the 64 arts. And then we actually even learn, as Uddhava came to Vrindavan to learn about Braja Prem from Mathura, we also have to learn about how to be a Sakhi Manjari. Even when we enter Boma Vrindavan, in Boma Vrindavan we have siddhadeha, we've attained prema as a sadhaka in our sadhaka roop in this material world. Now we have siddhadeha, but now we have to get trained. And then we become worthy of association. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he explains this in his writing called Gita Mala. Gita Mala, of course, is all songs, Bengali songs, or bhajans, but it's explaining step by step of the krama, of how one attains his siddhadeya in the spiritual world and as a mandri, kamala mandri, and how he actually enters the divine pastimes of the Lord. It's not that, bang, you appear in Goloka Vrindavan after giving up this body and go to Boma Vrindavan, take birth from the womb of a gopi in Vrindavan, then you grow up there. It's not that you immediately rush out to meet Krishna, because there's Purvarag, we have to develop Purvarag, an intense Utkantita Bhav, and we have to hear so much about Krishna, and then finally we actually meet the associates of Krishna. We meet Rupa Manjari, or we meet Rati Manjari, or maybe our Guru Sakhi comes, and he describes this. And we're just waiting, we're growing, we're born in 1 year, we grow there, in Boma Vrindavan there's growing, 1, 2, 3. Then you come to your Nitya age, 12 years, 6 months, 8 days, whatever, 13 years, a Manjari, a Pran Sakhi. And then finally, now you're eligible. It's like qualification to go to college. You don't go to college when you're 5 years old, you have to be like 18, 20. And then all of a sudden, for the first time, we'll hear Krishna's flute. It's very nice how he describes it. And this is a general pattern. It's not just a unique expression of his individual experience. This is how it happens. And we're ready to graduate. We're ready for the big time. So we hear, oh, I hear the sound of Krishna's flute, and I run out. And even Rupa Manjari comes to my kuti and says, or my house or whatever, where I'm living as a gopi, what are you doing? What are you doing here? Sitting here all alone. So I'm just singing. He's describing that I'm going out every day as a Sakhi Manjari. I'm collecting water and bringing it home, and I'm always singing songs about Krishna. Some Jayarada Madhava, what? There's so many bhajans being in Brajvasha and Boma Vrindavan. And while I'm singing these songs, it's all Leela Kirtan. I'm meditating on Krishna's Leela, I'm meditating on Radharani, I'm meditating on doing different services, and I'm hankering for it, but I haven't had the opportunity yet. And I've been living in Vrindavan, in Boma Vrindavan. Krishna's there, Radha's there, all the gopis there, and I haven't met them yet. I haven't seen them and I haven't started serving them directly yet. So when the Purva Rag, that intensity of attachment and attraction, when it rises to the proper pitch, then Krishna understands the hearts of all of his devotees, then he sends his Parishas. Yes, now she's ready. Like a good servant, he observes the mango tree, his master's mango tree in the garden. And he's seeing, oh, that mango is green, this one's yellow. Oh, this one's in the sunshine. It's becoming quite red. I think that one must be ripe. It looks quite ripe. So then he puts a ladder there. And the one next to it is yellow, and then this one's a little red, and he feels, oh yes, this one, this will be good for my master. This one maybe a few days later. And this one maybe 2 weeks later. So then he plucks that off and he takes it and he offers to the master. So this is like the mantras for like fruits on Krishna's tree of servants. And when they're ripe, then their time comes, then they're chosen. And then it's all described. It's very nice. Gita Mala, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Sarva karma tyagiya more atma nivediya jay kari amara sevan amritatva dharma paya lila madhya pravashya amasahakara ye raman. Bhaktivinoda says that he paraphrases this verse in Bengali. He tells Krishna saying, Uddhav, one who gives up all fruit of activity and surrenders himself to me, rendering service to me, attains characteristics of immortality and enters into my pastimes, enjoying them in my company. So these are verses in Bhajan Rahasyam. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is describing Sambhog Prem in several verses, which we'll get to. And then he's describing how to engage in bhajan to attain that prema and to attain that adhikar, eligibility to enter that land and to assist in the prema seva of Radharani and Krishna and prema dham Vrindavan. So this verse, he was to support his position or give his teaching about the nam, let's say, prema nam bhajan sadhana, prema nam bhajan sadhana for the ajata rati sadhak. Ajata rati sadhak, that sadhak who has not attained bhav, then he will go in this line. In the next verse, in verse 3, he talks about steadfastness in bhajan. And this, there's another addition here, a nice commentary. As the jiva wanders throughout this material existence, Brahmanda Brahmatekon, Bhagavan Jeev, Guru Krishna Prasadi, Pai, Bhakti Latavij, the Brahmanda Brahmate means wandering, Brahmate. This Brahmanda, that's a big movement. It's a very big movement. One Brahmanda to another. Finally, he gets Guru Darshan, Guru Parashraya. He surrenders to Guru, takes shelter of Guru, Guru Parashraya. And then Diksha Adi Shikshanam. And then he serves the Guru, Vishram Bena Guru Seva, then Sadhu Vartmana Vartate, he follows the path of the sadhus. Finally, after wandering throughout so many Brahmandas, he attains the association of Krishna's eternal associates. That's not easy. Nityaparishad Sangha, the association. According to the extent of his Sukriti, due to his association with pure devotees, finally, the devotee, he gives up his desire to engage in daily and occasional prescribed duties, sense enjoyment and liberation. In other words, Nadanam Najanam Nasundaram Kavitam Ba Jagadishakami Mamma Janmani Janmani Shri Bhavatad Bhakti Hoite Kvitayi. He has no interest in anything of this world. Anything, any happiness of this world, any happiness, Swarga Sukh or Indriya Sukh, happiness of this body, happiness from the higher planets, or any, even rebirth, even liberation, koine, koi interest nahi, even mukti, janmani, birth after birth, all I care is ahoituki bhakti. Unmotivated, causeless devotional service. That's all. Seva, seva, seva. Here in this world, seva. In swarga, seva. In any form of life. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Kita janma hao. Kita janma hao. He said, I don't care if I take birth as an insect. Kita janma hao. I don't care if I take birth as a kiya, insect. As long as it's in the house of a devotee. Bhaktagar, if it's in the house of the devotee, then I have some fortune, because I'll hear the Hari Kirtan, and I'll smell the incense offered to Krishna, and I'll take the Mahaprasad, and sometimes some drops of Charanamrita will fall on the floor, and I'll eat those drops, and I'll get the mercy this way. This is the consciousness of a devotee. He's thinking, if I have any connection with Krishna, even the remotest seva connection with Krishna, even in a non-human species, even an insect, that's fine. I prefer that to liberation. There's one verse by Ramanujacharya. He says that, he talks about how staunch and determined a devotee is in his association, how selective he is. He says, if you have the choice between being eaten by some tigers, you're in the jungle, you have the choice between being eaten by some tigers or going to associate with some Shiva bhaktas, better you're eaten by the tigers. Because if you associate with Shaivites, they may, or you associate with Mayavadis, Mayavadi Shunyavashya Sarvabhakti Nash, they may destroy your Sukriti, your Bhakti Sukriti, or your Shraddha. And that damage will last for lifetimes. But if you go into the forest, if you avoid that temple of Shaivites, or avoid that temple of Shankarites, even though there might be shelter, there's whole tigers. Oh, I can run into this temple, all these Mayavadis. No, better you run out and get eaten by the tiger, because the tiger will eat you, but it won't destroy any of your bhakti sanskaras. It won't destroy any of your sukriti. And you'll take in your next birth in a good family. Suchinam Srimatam Gehe Yoga Brashti Bijayate. In a Vaishnava family, you'll continue your path of pure bhakti. But Mayavadi Mayavadi Bhashya Shunile Sarvabhakti Nash. If you go into some Shankar, big ashram, some Shankaracharya, and tigers, ha ha, tigers are chasing, ha, and you run inside, oh, oh, and they say, oh, sit down, let me tell you about Brahman, Tatvamasi, Sarvakalvadam Brahma. I say, oh, yacha. Tattvamasi, I am that, Namo Narayan. Yes, Namo Narayan, I am Narayan. And then you're all in Bhakti Nash. So better you get chopped up by the tiger. This is Ramanuja's idea. Very interesting. I don't know if I can do that, but I would just go in the ashram and keep my ears closed. I just Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. I would just chant the mantra. They say, oh, this guy is strange. I would just go in there, get shelter from the tigers. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. And they come over and try to preach. I said, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Hey, Suno, Vedanta, I want to tell you Vedanta Sutra. Matcha. Janmad yasya yataha. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. I have Bhagavatam. I don't need to hear your Mayavadi commentary. Janmad yasya yataha. This is Vedanta Sutra 111. I heard from Shukadeva Goswami, Bhakti Siddhanta, Bhakti Tattva. There's a whole 18,000 verses about Vedanta Sutra. Srimad Bhagavatam, 18,000 verses about one verse. The first verse of Vedanta Sutra. Janmad yasya yataha. Right? And from that you get Krishna Leela, Dwarka Leela, Vrindavan Leela, Ras Leela, Brahmar Geet, Venu Geet, Pranaya Geet. All that comes from one verse. All of that whole discussion, elaboration through Tattva Siddhanta and Leela Vichar, it all comes from one verse of Vedanta Sutra. Shukadeva Goswami Pada Ki Jai. So there's no fear for the devotee. But here in the Shingho Ridaye, in the Shingho, in the Shingho Adim Sharanam Prapade, inside, outside, wherever he goes, he's protected by the Shingha. But here in the Shingho, Ridae, in the Shingho, was it? Namaste, Nada Shingaya, Prahlada, Lada, Dayane. Haranyakashipuravaksha Shila Tankanak Ito Ito Nishingho Parato Nishingho Yato 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 Yamita To Nishingho Bahir Nishingho Ridae Nishingho Nishing Hamadim Saranam Prapade. So there's no fear. Because who is Nishingadev? He protects the bhakti. He's a bhakti, he protects bhakti, bhakti raki. One is this his is that's his whole idea. Because who is the first bhakta that he protected? Why did he manifest? Nisringadev manifested to protect bhakti. He's the bhakti raki. Well, you can say bhakti raki. Is it right? He's a protector of devotion. Dasya bhakta. Dasya rati. Dasya rati pralad. Shud bhakti begins there with pralad. Shravanam kirtana vishnu smaranam parasevanam. And his father said, what is this? I am God, devote yourself to me. And then the Shringadev says, oh, you're trying to disrupt the devotion of the son, telling him to stop chanting. It's funny because in Hari Bhakti Sudodaya, it describes in the Shringadev Leela slightly some embellishments that aren't in the Krishna, Srimad Bhagavatam. And it says that when the Srinadeva appeared from the pillar, he didn't come from a pillar, he walked in the front gate. He came in the front gate of Haranyakashipu's palace. And this huge, blinding Brahmajyoti effulgence, the whole jyoti of Nisringadeva. And he was blinded. Haranyakashipu was blind. What is this? As the sun planet entered my palace, as Vivishwan come, it's so much tej and like Brahmajyoti. Then he heard this this huge roar, this shattering roaring. He became afraid and he took out his sword. And then, he became afraid, and Hari Bhakti Sudhodaya says, when he saw Nisringadev, he started crying for his mother. Haranyakashipu started saying, Mata, Mata, Mata. Can you imagine? Haranyakashipu, he was crying when he saw Nisringadev, he became so petrified and so terrified. They said, Mata, Mata, Mother, Mother, Mommy, Mommy, save me. And then Prahlad was standing next to him. He said, listen, big boy. Listen, Dad. Your mother, mommy can't save you. Your mother can't save you now. You better chant Govinda Nam. He was preaching to him. He said, you should chant Govinda Nam. Govinda, Govinda me rohe, Gopala me rohe, Govinda me rohe, Gopala me rohe. Radha rasa bihari nandalala me rohe. So Haranyakashipu said, shut up, shut up. So the darkness of ignorance is removed by the light of bhakti, just as darkness is removed by the light of the sun. The devotee then serves Bhagavan with a full sense of possessiveness. Of course, this is the level of bhava, a mamata, mamata bhav. One feels that Krishna is mine, tudiya bhava and madhya bhava. Mamata, that really feels that I have nothing else in this world. All I have is Bhagavan. And Bhagavan bestows upon that devotee a spiritual body appropriate for rendering eternal service to him. This means that Krishna gives a body qualities, activities, service, and so on according to the particular mood of the sadhaka. Very nice. What is the mood? Mood means bhav, the sentiment. Sakha bhav, gopi bhav, vatsalya bhav. First bhav, then body. Narada Muni developed the bhav. He developed the bhav of mamata bhav. He was so much felt, the Lord is my protector. Anukalyana, what was that verse? Anukalyana Krishna, what is that? Anukalyana Sankalpa, particularly Yasya Varjanam, Rakshishyatiti Vishwaso. Gopritre Varanandata Karpanya Atman Nivedana. And so his whole mood was that I belong to Narayan, and Narayan's my everything, and everywhere he's Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Where is Vasudeva? Where is Narayan? Everywhere. So this attracted Narayan's attention. And he wasn't sitting down meditating that this is my Siddha Sarup. He was just calling out to the Lord and wandering, depending, utter dependence on the Lord. Absolute Sharanagati. And then at the end, the Lord gave him a body because he had that bhav, that seva bhav, dasya bhav of a pure servant. So when you get a body, even when you get a physical body has all these things, qualities, activities, service, and so on. So when he got his spiritual body, when he left this material body, he got his spiritual body, so automatically everything comes with it. Bhav and then body. How the Lord arranges, the basic idea that Krishna will arrange, we have the faith, we're serving Krishna, we're developing the bhava of a pure servant, and Krishna will arrange for us to receive our siddhadeya, our eternal spiritual body. Directly he will give himself, or he can give through his representatives. As then he says, as a result of associating with Swajatiya Snigdashaya Bhaktas, these are the type, this is mentioned in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, these two words. Sajat, it says Swajati and Snigda, Snigdashaya. This means a guru, a bhajan shiksha guru, or diksha guru, or shiksha guru, who has these two qualities. Sajati or Swajati and Snigda, like Sneha. So Sajati means he's the same jati, he's the same parivar, he's the same line of thought that I am. Like we are Gaudiya Madhurya Bhaktis, Gaudiya Vaishnav, or let's say Vaishnav Praya. We're trying to be Gaudiya Vaishnavas. And we're worshippers of the Yugalavatar, Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Radha Krishna, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna, Nahayanya. So our line of thought is Brajabhav, Brajabhakti, but especially Gopika Bhakti, Subhakti Sriyam. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to teach Raghunuga Bhakti, and especially Radha Dasyam, the service of Radharani. So when we find a devotee who's a Gaudiya Vaishnava, he's a Madhurya Mahi Bhakta, and he's in Gopi Bhav, or let's say he's has that outlook and that sadhya, and that is what our heart vibrates in that direction, and our mind reaches in that direction to serve Radha and Krishna in Madhur Bhav and his Manjari Gopi Bhav, then that is one characteristic of proper guru, bhajan shiksha guru or diksha guru, etc. And the second characteristic or symptom is snigda. Snigdashaya, it says snigdashaya, that he has snigda. He has affection. He has room in his heart for us. He has affection for us. Because he may be very busy, he may be a bhajanandi, he may be Gaudi Vaishnava, Madhurya Mayi Bhakta, in Gopi Bhav. But he's a Nirjan Bhajan. He's a Kela. He's by himself. And he doesn't want to be disturbed. He's only doing Smaran. All Chobi's Ganta is Smaran. And so we see, oh, he has this characteristic, same. He's everything that I'm interested in. But he's too busy for me. He has no heart for me, no time for me. So it'll be very difficult to attract his feelings because it's personal. So that he says, as a result of associating with Swajatiya and Snigdashaya Bhaktas, affectionate devotees who are of the same mood as himself and more advanced, then the sadhaka who is endowed with Madhurya Rati attains a desire in his heart to render service in the amorous mellow. By practicing bhakti and by the mercy of the devotees, one attains a state of perfection, siddha avashta, avashta. Such a devotee performs his sadhana internally under the guidance of Lalita and other sakis, and by their mercy he receives bodily features equal to those of the Nitya Siddha Manjaris, and he also obtains the pleasure of directly rendering kunja seva in Sri Vrindavan Dham, Sri Brajadham. After this attainment of Sarup Siddhi, the jiva achieves Vastu Siddhi and for eternity serves Sri Radha in the eternal land of Vrindavan. Such service of Radha in Nitya Vrindavan, Braja Gokul, is only attained by sadhakas in Madhurya Rati and not by others, obviously. You have to be in Madhurya Rati. So then we'll continue with more of these descriptions, how to develop this Premnam Bhajan by these citations that are given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in this treatise. So that was text 2, and tomorrow we'll have text 3.